The first case for argument this morning is Garcia Hernandez versus Garland. And I believe Ms. Gutierrez-Diaz, you are representing the petitioner, so please proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Marisol Castro. Ms. Angelica Gutierrez-Diaz is also on the case, but I'm the lead person that would argue.
I apologize. I didn't know you were on there. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Marisol Castro for the petitioner, Virginio Garcia Hernandez. And may it please the court, I will use 5 minutes for argument, and I will reserve five for rebuttal. However, like I just mentioned, my colleague, Angelica Maria Gutierrez-Diaz, will also be available, and I would offer her any time that she particularly might have specific personal knowledge to certain questions. The legal question I will begin with is whether our client, the petitioner, had a statutory, constitutional, and due process right to counsel at his own expense when appearing in front of the immigration judge hearing his credible fear claim. The answer, Your Honors, is yes, for the following three reasons. First, the court here in Zuniga versus Barr and Orozco Lopez has already determined in unqualified terms that a non-citizen has, I quote, a right to representation by an attorney. These proceedings are a form of removal, just like in Zuniga.
Well, counsel, with respect, the facts in this case and Orozco Lopez are quite different, I think. In this case, your client was told specifically that he did have such a right, was given information on who might be available, and the IJ said specifically, you know, this is supposed to happen within 10 days, but I'm going to give you a little extra time to try to find your counsel. So he had the right, he didn't exercise it, and they went forward. How does that in any way violate Orozco Lopez?
Well, Your Honor, in this particular case, yes, my client was aware he had an attorney. In fact, he exercised that right and he hired his attorney. She's here on this hearing, like I mentioned. He unable to give her notice because he was given improper notice.
Well, wait a minute. He was in a hearing. The IJ specifically said to him, you have a right to counsel. We're going to have this hearing. It was his obligation to notify his counsel. That's not the responsibility of the IJ, is it?
No, Your Honor, but on December 30th, when the judge gave notice of the following hearing that would be held, first, that notice was given in a dialect and a language that our client does not understand, which is our second point.
Well, wait a minute. As I understand it, there was one word dealing with land disputes that was apparently difficult to understand. There's no claim, I don't believe, at least I'm aware of, that your client was claiming he didn't know that he was told to get his lawyer and when it would be. Where are you citing in the record that says otherwise?
Your Honor, in the record, if we look at the transcripts, on page, starts on page 7, it starts with, and the interpreter, just to be clear, you can understand this respondent, interpreter to judge. Your Honor, yes, I understand, but some words. I do not understand. Some words are not, and it cuts off. All right, they're not similar to mine. Your Honor, the point, our second point in this is the lack of language barrier.
I understand, but again, you don't have a lot of time, so I want to just cut to the chase here. Yeah, he had the language issue, but when pressed, what was the specific misinterpretation? It had to do with a separate issue, not with counsel. Can you point to anywhere in the record that suggests that your client did not understand that he had the right to counsel and that he needed to bring him to the next hearing?
Your Honor, he did understand that he had the right to counsel. In fact, he had hired a counsel. The
right.
Problem was that from December 30th to January 5th, there was not ample time. The main problem we have here is the judge did need to proceed because of the 10 days, but our client asked for a continuance so that his attorney could be present. He explained to the judge that he was unable to give his attorney the proper date and notice and time. The judge at that point had the discretion to find out if, in fact, there was extreme circumstances and that would lead him to maybe have to continue this case, the exceptional circumstances. So when the judge told our client, you cannot have more time to have your attorney give a notice, our client, in fact, told the judge his client's name and was able to give the more information regarding his attorney. But the judge did nothing. And there is case law, and in Orozco, it does say the judge has an obligation to make some steps to help the situation out. And so,
and the judge did here. The judge actually was not, indeed, he specifically mentioned the 10-day limitation, but said he was going to go beyond that to be helpful.
Your Honor, in Biwat versus Gonzalez, it actually says that it is not reasonable for two continuances. And in that case, there was one continuance, and the second continuance was done during the holidays. And that case says that that was unreasonable time to continue to allow for an attorney.
If you want to save any of your time, you're down to a little over 4 minutes. It's up to you.
It's fine, Your Honor. I'd like to just may I continue where I was?
Please, of course.
Okay. So as we mentioned, our client had the right to an attorney. It's based under 1362, 1208, Zuniga, and Orozco. There was no waiver of counsel. He had an attorney and gave the name of his attorney. And like we said, the judge made no attempts to continue the case for 1 or 2 days, to make a simple phone call. There was absolutely no efforts in this judge to try to avoid this problem.
So can I jump in and ask you just a factual question to make sure I'm on the same page? As I understand it, at the December 30th hearing, that hearing was conducted in Spanish, right? And as I understand it, at the end of the hearing, when the judge advised your client about the hearing on January 5th, he asked your client whether he understood, and your client basically said, kind of, a little bit. I mean, Spanish is not, he doesn't speak Spanish well. And so is it the case that when he showed up on January 5th, that he was not aware that the hearing was going to be held that day until the morning of January 5th?
That's correct, Your Honor. That's what I was trying to express, is that he never received proper notice because it wasn't in his language. And so that day he was able to get by, but not enough to express and articulate. Not only does he not have an education in Mexico, but he obviously doesn't have knowledge of the legal U.S. system. And so he did not know and was unable to. In fact, he was also in quarantine. There was holidays. There was various exceptions that the judge should have considered to have allowed this person to have more time to have his attorney present. Our client speaks Mixteco medio de Guerrero. So the day that the 30th case got continued for...
Counsel, what about the time limitation in the statute that, you know, unless there's some exceptional circumstances, you should complete the hearing in 10 days?
Absolutely, Your Honor, and that's what we felt, that there was an abuse of discretion.
Are you saying all the things you mentioned amount to exceptional circumstances?
Yes, Your Honor. I feel that at the time that...
Anything would be exceptional, wouldn't it?
I'm sorry?
Almost anything would be exceptional.
Well, and that's just it, Your Honor. It was never examined or analyzed. The judge failed to use his discretion to even ask, why don't you have your attorney here?
The question is, why is that an exceptional circumstance?
I think the combination of our client being in quarantine and unable to use the phone to call his attorney to ask him, what's going on? I was in court. I'm confused. I don't know what's going to happen next. All of a sudden, on the 5th, he's brought into court with no notice.
Because he's confused, it makes it an exceptional circumstance?
Well, that in addition, Your Honor, to the fact that there were holidays in the time frame.
When there are holidays, it makes it an exceptional circumstance? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor. I think in the totality of the situation for our client, there was those circumstances that should have at least been explored by the judge. There was a due process violation, which I think is the biggest exception.
Oh, well, wait a minute now. Are you making a due process argument now?
Yes, Your Honor. Our client was unaware, was not given proper or adequate notice. He's unable to speak the language where the notice was given to him. He had the right to counsel. He explained to the court he had an attorney.
You're repeating yourself now. You don't have much time left. You have less than a minute.
But we do believe, Your Honor, that there was abuse of discretion for not even exercising the examination of exceptional circumstances. We also think that there's case law where it in fact tells that the court, if the client has already engaged with an attorney and then that attorney fails to appear, the judge still has to make steps to make sure that due process is not violated and that there's at least a phone call to the attorney made.
And counsel, do you have any case that finds that an IJ committed an abuse of discretion in facts that are identical to these?
Identical, I would think that the most similar one is the Biwat versus Gonzalez, where it does say to infuse the critical right to counsel with meaning, we have held that the IJ must provide alien with reasonable time to locate counsel and permit counsel to prepare for the hearing.
Okay, I think as my colleague said, that I think we have that point. You have now used up your time, so we thank you for your argument. Let's hear now from the government, I guess, Ms. Blosser, if I believe correct.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Kristen Blosser, and I'm here on behalf of the United States Attorney General, the respondent in this matter. May it please the court. Petitioner has, even under this court's recent decision in Orozco Lopez, petitioner's right to counsel was not violated. Orozco Lopez, the court emphasized that that right is cabined by the regulatory language, which requires review to be conducted within 10 days after the notice of referral to the immigration judge was filed. And that is critical. And not only that, but the requirements that the court articulated under Orozco Lopez were met in this case. Petitioner was informed of his entitlement to counsel, and he was offered the opportunity.
Yeah, well, can I? Yeah, I was going to ask on that point. Do you agree with your opponent that on December 30th, the notice of the January 5th hearing that was given to the petitioner here was not? I mean, he didn't understand it. It seems quite obvious that that's the case because it was given in a language that he doesn't speak. He then got a written notice of the hearing that was in English, which he most definitely does not speak. And then he shows up on January 5th and he tells the judge, "Judge, I just found out this morning that I had this hearing. So that's why I wasn't able to tell my lawyer to be here with me." So it seems to me that he was not given a proper notice that January 5th was the date that his lawyer needed to be present. And as I understand our cases, when an IJ knows that a person has secured counsel, shows up for the hearing and the lawyer's not there with him, the judge has an obligation to take quote unquote reasonable steps to ensure that the person's right to counsel is respected. And that can be as simple as making a phone call to the lawyer to say, "Hey, why the hearing's today? Why aren't you here? Can you get down here immediately?" And the judge here did none of that. He didn't even make a phone call to see if counsel could get there that day. So I guess I'd be inclined to think that that is not in compliance with our cases, but I'm anxious to hear your response to that.
Yes, Your Honor. I would respectfully disagree with that representation of the way that the fact that petitioner did not understand what he was told on December 30th. Petitioner did say, I believe it was more or less a little bit when asked whether he understood, but then the immigration judge repeated the date for the hearing, and petitioner indicated that he did understand. Petitioner also engaged in a back and forth with the immigration judge that did indicate that he had a basic understanding of Spanish, sufficient that he was able to respond to the questions that were posed to him in Spanish. And there are multiple places in the record where petitioner indicated that he did speak Spanish. I would direct the court's attention specifically to page 55 to 56 of the administrative record, where petitioner is meeting with an asylum officer, and he indicates to the asylum officer that Mixteco was his native language, but that he would be willing to continue with the interview in Spanish. And on another occasion, page 50 of the administrative record, to a different asylum officer, petitioner again indicated that he could speak Spanish. He simply felt more comfortable in Mixteco because that was his native language. But the record shows that petitioner did understand Spanish. And so given that, and petitioner was informed of the fact that his hearing would be rescheduled to that January 5th date, He was informed of that, right? He was also, even apart from...
Then, counsel, how do you explain his comment to the judge on January 5th that he just found out that morning that his hearing was going to be held?
I interpreted petitioner's comment to say that he didn't receive written notice of the hearing, and not that he didn't understand what the immigration judge told him about the rescheduled review.
I think what he said to the judge, counsel, is that the reason my lawyer is not here with me is because I didn't know to tell her to come here. I didn't know I was having a hearing until they came and got me this morning.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, I don't believe that he goes quite that far. He stated on page 14, I did not get the information to give to the attorney. But he didn't state that he didn't understand when he was told that the hearing would be rescheduled to January 5th. That he never stated. And to my colleague's point, I believe it was noted that petitioner provided the name of his attorney that was representing him, but I don't believe the record reflects that. Petitioner indicated he had an attorney, but he did not identify her by name.
Let me shift. We can debate this point, I guess, all day. Let's assume that you're right, that he was adequately informed that January 5th was the date. Nonetheless, don't our cases say that when the IJ is aware that somebody has already retained counsel, and that undoubtedly is true here, that the judge has to take reasonable steps to find out, okay, well, why isn't the lawyer here with you? And so why wouldn't the IJ at least have had the obligation to call, I guess, is it Ms. Gutierrez-Diaz who was the lawyer? I'm not remembering. To call her and say, listen, your client is here before me. He has a hearing today, whether you knew it or not. Can you get down here today? Can we put this off to this afternoon? Something. And then if Ms. Gutierrez-Diaz says, well, no, I'm not available for the next 2 weeks, then obviously in that scenario, given the 10-day limitation, the judge can proceed. But the judge didn't even take the minimal step of finding out whether Ms. Gutierrez-Diaz could get down there that day so that the proceeding could be held on the very day that it was otherwise scheduled.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, the immigration judge noted that no attorney had filed a notice of appearance indicating that petitioner was represented by an attorney who had indicated an intent to appear on his behalf at that review proceeding before the immigration judge. And so when confronted with that, the fact that there's no objective indicator in the record that petitioner was represented, I don't believe that it would be reasonable. Well,
that's definitely not true, counsel, because the record indicated that he had an attorney at the interview. The original interview, he was already represented then.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm not disputing the fact that he had an attorney in the interview with the asylum officer, but simply the fact that it wasn't clear from the record that there was an attorney who indicated a desire to represent him in that review proceeding before the immigration judge, where a notice of appearance is required for an attorney to represent a petitioner before an immigration judge. And so under all of the circumstances of this case, it's the government's position that the immigration judge did everything reasonably that he could do to permit petitioner to obtain counsel. And nonetheless, petitioner failed to do so.
Let me ask you this. To me, this is one of those cases where no good deed goes unpunished. The IJ said, I know we're supposed to get this done in 10 days, but I'm going to give you a break. We're going to extend this on a little bit, give you a chance to get your lawyer. Had the IJ just said, 10 days is up, we're done here, would that have been proper? Would that have been legal?
I believe that Your Honor is referring to the situation. In that situation, petitioner had indicated that he had an attorney and the immigration judge simply said 10 days are up, or that exchange did not occur.
Well, either way, I guess the point is the statute says 10 days and needed to move it along. And the judge, it seemed to me, was bending over backwards to help this petitioner. And he's getting bitten now, possibly, because of that courtesy. So my question is, if the judge just simply said, the statute says 10 days, I see nothing before me that changes anything here, this is over, would that have been legal?
I think that that's certainly possible. That is at least what happened in Gonzalez, the companion case to Orozco Lopez. There, Gonzalez appeared before the immigration judge. I believe it was on day 8 after the notice of referral was filed, and at that time did not have an attorney, requested a continuance, and the immigration judge indicated that the review needed to take place at that time, given the regulatory requirements. And the court in Orozco Lopez indicated that Gonzalez's right to counsel had not been violated.
So from your perspective, Gonzalez teaches us that the IJ would not have abused his discretion if he just terminated things at the 10th day.
I believe so, Your Honor.
Okay.
And
your time is almost up. You want to just wrap up, please?
Yes, Your Honor. For those reasons and the reasons submitted in our briefs, we would request that the petition for review be denied. Thank you.
Okay. We thank both counsel for their argument. Do either of my colleagues have additional questions they wish to raise with either counsel, or are we done?
I do not. I'm fine. Thank you.
Very well. So thanks to both counsel for your argument in this case. The case of Garcia Hernandez versus Garland is submitted.
Your Honor, I'm sorry. Did I not have at least a couple more minutes for rebuttal?
No. As we told you before, you mentioned that you're going to run into your time. So, and we will actually let you go over your time. So, no, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.